Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now Foles gets hit. Doesn't see it coming. Loose ball. Bill scoop it up at the 35-yard line, going back the other way. Here they go. It is Bernard, the rookie, inside the 20, inside the 15, 10. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! First one of the preseason.
John Murphy on the call. One preseason game down, two to go. Saturday against the Broncos, and then they wrap the preseason on the road against Carolina. So that'll be the Bills preseason schedule for you as we gear up towards the opener in L.A. On the Western Hotline with us is Sal Capaccio. His appearance brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sal, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're all right. It was a beautiful, beautiful scene at the stadium on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Perfect weather day. And I'd imagine it was nice to be back on the sideline in front of Bills Mafia.
Oh, it was great. It was a great atmosphere. It was great weather, like you said. Just lots of smiling kids in the stands. Always the case with preseason, obviously, but just fans in general. You know, when it started, looked around like, yeah, it's not as busy as I thought, but I think people were enjoying themselves and kind of the reunion, so to speak, as you know how that goes, right, Jeremy?
Absolutely.
You see people you haven't seen for the first time. So by the time the first quarter got rolling around, it was pretty packed in there. I looked at the official attendance. It was 66,000 official paid attendance. I don't think 68,648 is the official. I don't know exactly like how many through the turnstiles, but it was a nice crowd. It was really good. And I will tell you, it went from one of the most boring preseason games I've ever seen and been a part of to one of the most exciting by the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I mean, and then a walk-off win. I mean, you know, you can't ask for much more.
Great. And then about nine in a row, right? Nine in a row is becoming a bit of a story. McDermott had a little fun with that afterwards in the post-game presser. He was kind of asked about it, and he's like, you know, I don't want to talk about it. You're going to jinx it here. But he was laughing, right, because it's preseason.
Sure.
So they're aware of it. They know that.
But you got to ask them if they're chasing the Ravens, you know?
I know, right? I know, 21 in a row, which is incredible. And so I think that's interesting, though, that the Bills and Ravens both have this preseason winning streak. I brought it up with Sean McDermott in our radio production meeting, and I asked him if he thinks there's anything to that. Like, is it just coincidence? What is it? And you know, he said, like, it matters the guy's playing, right? And that's the kind of player they bring in here, that it matters to them. Now, I know that we can go back to the Doug Marrone era getting mad about, you know, a preseason game. That's not what he means. It's, you know, when those guys take the field, football matters to them. They want to do their best. They want to win the game. It's not outright, yeah, sure, you're trying to win, but you're not, oh, my God, we do anything to try and win the game. But that's the kind of people they brought into this organization. And he kind of explained it that he thinks that's pretty much where it comes from. I will also say, I think both these organizations, the Bills and Ravens, do a very good job of evaluating talent. So when you get to the third and fourth quarters, you're going to have better players on the field. If you're playing your threes against their threes, I think in general the Bills and the Ravens would have better threes than most teams. You look around and look at their rosters, I think they do a good job of that, and I think that partly explains it.
Sal on the Western Hotline, Jeremy and Joe with you here. You can give us a call. You can ask Sal a question, give a comment, 803-0550. All right, Sal, so the game, let's pretty much go how it went. The opening drive for the Bills looks pretty good. We see some of the good, some of the bad. I thought the first guy that flashed, that popped the whole day, was Zach Moss. And your voice was ringing.
Jeremy.
Your voice was ringing in my ears. Like those expecting his decline, you know, that's been overstated. You're not surprised to see him flash. He's looked like that all camp.
I'm glad you brought that up, and thank you. I appreciate that, because I remember when I tweeted that, and I said The football death of Zach Moss has been greatly over exaggerated. That's how I put it. And it's right. And I've seen, this is what I've seen from him at camp. Zach Moss to me looks fresh and healthy. I'm thinking back a year ago, and I'll tell you this, ever since like this camp has gone on, and I've said that about people, and other people have made that observation, I've heard from people who said he just wasn't healthy last year. Like, he was recovering from that injury in the playoff game, remember? He had off-season surgery last year after he hurt his ankle in that playoff game against the Colts. From everything I'm gathering, that was really bothering him all of last year in some way. It doesn't mean it's outright bothering you, but you know what I mean. Like, you're just never completely there. You're not 100%, even if you don't feel the effects necessarily, and that impacts you. And everybody I've talked to about this has said the exact same thing, which is, he's finally fully a year removed from that. Eric Wood can tell you. Eric Wood broke his leg. He said, yes, even though you think you're there, you're not quite. It takes you a longer time than what you think, because once you get in the season, there's no more rehabbing, really. You're practicing. You're playing. I think Zach Moss looked really good. I gave him an arrow up. The cutback and then showing speed to get to the outside, I think, was a really good sign, because we already know he brings a little bit of that power element.
So where do you think we're headed if this continues with Moss? If he continues to look healthy and he's, like you said, bouncing it outside and showing speed, are we headed for the Bills doing something that they've really never done, which is getting three different running backs involved in their offense?
I think so, Joe, yeah. I think Zach Moss is probably a part of this team on game day. You know, we've talked, you and I, a lot about, well, sure, Zach Moss makes the team, but does he get a jersey? I think he's making a case clearly to do that. He's making a case to be the number two running back with James Cook sprinkled in, and then let's see how it shakes out. To me, it might be, how about, I'll go back to last year's term I used to use, running back by game plan. Now, maybe not so much of, you know, a committee, like a backfield committee, but I think in certain situations, maybe in certain games, you will see more of Zach Moss than James Cook. And in certain games, you'll see more of James Cook than Zach Moss, maybe depending on what that game calls for in the different script. I think Devin Singletary is clearly, to me, the number one guy on this team. He's going to be the main running back. Now, and I don't want it to go, and people think I'm diminishing what James Cook's role is going to be. I think he's still going to have that role. I think maybe that you're going to just see a little bit more of Zach Moss than maybe we thought we would.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Also from the starting offense, Sal, Case Keenum. You know, they move the ball all the way down the field on their opening drive. They go for it on fourth down and don't get it. And then from there, turnovers start to plague them. An interception, a fumble. Let's start with Keenum specifically. We had a caller ask how concerned we should be about Keenum. My answer is I'm not very concerned. It wasn't necessarily a great outing, but has he shown anything in camp that would give you great concern? Or is he looking like, you know, your standard backup quarterback for the most part?
Yeah, I'm not concerned about Case Keenum. I want people to remember that the Bills had a very patchwork offensive line. And on top of that, they went against the number one Colts defense for several series. So there's a lot that's out there. Now, that said, I don't think Keenum looked great. I don't think he played great. The first interception is not on him to me. It went off Jameson Crowder's hands. The second interception is clearly on him. He also had the fumble. Case Keenum does two things I really like. He has three, actually. Gets rid of the ball quickly. Guys, he has a quick release. That's really nice. Number two, he has extra strong arm. I mean, he's not the biggest guy, but he has a strong arm. And the third thing is he's fairly mobile. Like, he can move back there, and I think that really helps out the Bills. Like, I'm not concerned. It's a preseason game when they're not showing a ton. He didn't have a full offensive line. They're going against a really good Colts front seven. They're starting defense. So, no, I'm not concerned. Now, that said, I'd like to see him play better next game. I'd like to see, hopefully, with a better offensive line, I'd like to see Keenum play better. There is nothing in my mind that moves me off of he is the team's backup quarterback here. Not Matt Barkley, who to me is most likely going to be a practice squad guy. Not anybody else from the outside. It's Case Keenum. Now, if we have another game next week like we had this week, maybe I would definitely start entertaining that conversation a little bit more. But then it would be just become simply where Barkley and Keenum fall in line in this team. It's not anything about Keenum not being here. That to me, they have their three quarterbacks, however that goes.
On Khalil Shakir, who looked pretty good, Sal, not trying to tamp down excitement over him, I guess the thing I want to ask is, was it just a function of he was, I mean, the best receiver playing, right? You know, we're not seeing Diggs and Davis out there featured too much, or McKenzie. So it's an offense that's had a lot of success getting the ball to receivers, and he's the guy that got the attention against Indianapolis and looked every bit the part of a guy that can play.
Yeah, this is a guy that, to me, and I've said from when I started watching him in camp, I don't think he's ever going to be the number one receiver with all these numbers in the league, but I think he's going to play a long time and be a solid receiver in the NFL. And I think he showed why. He gets open. He catches the ball. He just makes plays for you. He's there. You know, five catches on five targets, by the way, for 92 yards. Let all receivers. To answer your question, Jeremy, I do think it's partly because of that. Like, he was the guy, right? I mean, you don't have all these other weapons on the field. But at the same time, he was the guy. And he made the plays. And he got open. He did exactly what he was expected to do. I'm sure we'll talk about Isaiah Hodgins here in a minute. But I think that the Bills... I think for a lot of concern the fans have had about the back end of the wide receiver depth chart, I think you got to come away from Saturday night feeling a lot better about that. You know what I mean? Like thinking, okay, well, what do they have if they besides Diggs and Davis? I think we saw that they have a group that is coming along and can handle it. And I think that they have some good young receivers that they can rely on, and that is a very nice feeling to have after some of the concerns we had earlier in camp.
How does Hodgins make the team? Because McDermott singled him out specifically and had very, very high praise for him, which if the head coach is speaking your name and he's saying it in a good way, you've got to feel pretty good about it.
So if I did a 53-man roster today, and I haven't done this complete exercise, There's a solid chance that I'm putting Isaiah Hodgins over it than more over Jay Kumerow. That's how he's going to make the team. To me, I think Isaiah Hodgins might push Jay Kumerow off this roster. Kumerow had a fumble. We know he's a special teams player. And Isaiah Hodgins, I think to specifically answer your question, Jeremy, I think he'd have to show he can handle enough on special teams. He doesn't have to do everything Jay Kumerow did. I think he'd have to handle enough on special teams to have them say, We get better at wide receiver by doing this, and we're not losing that much on special teams. To me, that's his path. I think this comes down to maybe a Hodgins versus Kumerow question.
803-0550. We'll get some calls in. Connect with our fans. Brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. To John in Cheektowaga. John, good morning. You're on with Sal Capaccio.
Morning, guys. Yeah, Sal, the surprise for me, and I imagine a lot of people watching, was Blackshear. I hadn't even heard his name. You know, you've been saying nice things about Tavon Austin, and did he even play? I didn't see if he played at all, but no. Did you notice this Blackshear at all in any of the practices?
You know, he doesn't get a lot of run during training camp, during practices. That's because of the guys we just talked about, right? I mean, Devin Singletary, Zach Moss, James Cook. Tywan Jones gets sprinkled in there once in a while just because, you know, it is his position. Blackshear doesn't get a ton of run, but, you know, he made the most of his opportunities. Yeah, I can't see a path for him to make the roster. He's the new Antonio Williams, guys, right? When you think about it, right? I mean, remember Antonio Williams just, like, had that incredible game last year in preseason? Everybody's talking about him, but where would he fit on the roster? Now he's in New York, by the way, with the Giants and Brian Daboll. But I think that's what it is. You know, they've kind of replaced a nice practice squad running back to have a guy in your building working with your team. That's nice. I can't imagine if anybody is calling for, you know, not that the caller is, John, but if anybody's calling for Raheem Blackshear to make the team, well, who's not making it? He's not going to be over the one of those top three running backs. That's the only way it could happen. I mean, he may have passed Duke Johnson on the depth chart. I don't know, you know, but that's it. I mean, I can't see it. He looked really good, though. It was a really nice night for him. I'm really glad that it seemed like he was okay after that scare, after that touchdown, because he played well and did a nice job. Out of the backfield, by the way, catching passes. He looked good in the open field.
Well, while we're on running back, I mean, we mentioned Moss might be a part of the offense now, not just even on the team. Singletary is entrenched. Cook is a draft pick. And Sal, I don't know, is there a way Duke Johnson carves a spot just as a returner with a big return on Saturday?
I don't think so, Joe. I mean, maybe because of injury to somebody, right? If something like that were to happen and they just feel like they need one. But I don't know. Look, I don't know if you guys know. Did you guys notice or take note at least of the very first kickoff return? It was James Cook. And then he didn't do it after that. And then punt returning was Khalil Shakir, right? I mean, as well. They have so many options, Joe. I think he'd have to offer them more to justify that sort of roster spot.
So actually, this might be a good comparable because I think it's been a comparison people have used, C.J. Spiller to James Cook over time. And how was Spiller used in his first year? Sal, you remember that they had Marshawn Lynch still on the roster and Fred Jackson. And Spiller, if I remember right, first few games of his career, he was pretty much only a returner. And then they trade Lynch. So, I don't know. I mentioned in the first hour, like, would someone give the Bills a fifth-round pick for Zach Moss? I'm guessing probably not at this point, but we've kind of gone from, it feels like we've gone from Devin Singletary, James Cook, and you've got two running backs to, I don't know, is there an argument to be made that five guys have a case? If Johnson were to do it by return, but I guess you're saying he probably
this wouldn't. Is the point of really kind of the onset of the conversation. They have a deep roster, right? I mean, they have guys that they've found in different ways fighting to make the team who are going to not make the team. This is why Brandon Bean every year seemingly somehow finds a player on his roster to trade for a draft pick, right? Whether it's, I mean, guys, he traded Russell Bodine for a draft pick one year, right? I mean, yeah. he last year it was Bam Johnson. To me, Zach Moss on this team, I don't think they're going to look to trade him, but sure. I mean, if James Cook suddenly just makes a case that, oh my God, like we got to have this guy on the roster, then maybe you think you get something more out of doing something like that for a guy like Moss, and that opens the door for one of these other running backs. But no, I think that really at the end of the day, what it comes down to is you just have a couple of guys that they can play in the league, but they're just not going to be able to make this team.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. So have we gone long enough to bring up Matt Araiza?
And Jeremy's plan to eliminate Gunners? Just in general?
Sal, so it's the kick heard around the world, right? I mean,
right, yeah.
Let's get your view, your rundown from field level. The sound it made when it hit his foot. Matt Araiza's 82-yard punt. It counts as 82 because they stopped counting at the goal line. I mean, it probably went 94 yards, and it's a net of 62, and it's exactly what the Bills are hoping to get from him, correct?
Right, and there's a lot of layers to this, right? You guys saw I tweeted it out yesterday. I mean, I heard people about hang time and things like that. Oh, my God. You went from flipping the field from the 17 to the other team's 20. Every single coach would take that every time. I mean, the line of scrimmage is the 17. You went out there, and can you imagine? I mean, imagine this conversation. I'm sure it didn't happen because nobody knows he's going to hit it that far. But, hey, coach, mind if I put it in the end zone? Like, no, go right ahead. They'll start at the 20, right? I mean, like, go right ahead if you want to do that. Now, ideally, he said after the game, I asked him this. Like, is that, like, you okay with that, right? Put in the end zone. He looked and goes, ideally, you'd love it to stop rolling, of course. He said, but yeah, I'm fine with it. So by him saying that tells me, obviously, the coaches are fine with that. So my view was, generally, when they're at the 17 in that situation, I would generally be down there on that side. There was something else going on. There might have been an injury or something I was checking on. But either way, I happened to be over on the other side where the returner was, on that side of the 50. So I was more kind of near the returner than I was the play. And I said, okay, I'm just going to stay here for this punt. And I didn't hear it like that. Although now I think about it, like maybe I should have been listening for that, but I didn't hear it like that. But the first thing I noticed actually was the flight and the spiral. You know what I mean? Like sometimes those balls, because if you're going to pooch it, it's going to go end over end. If you're going to try and get a lot out of it, it's going to have that spiral. First thing I noticed was he just had great ball flight. Like the spiral of it, and the way it was moving to me, I'm like, oh my God, that's really nice. And then guys, it just kept going and going and going. I mean, it was like a missile, just kept going over. And I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then I happen to look, and the returner just turns around and starts sprinting. And then you hear the crowd. And I can tell, the people in the crowd in the stands could probably tell better than I could of exactly how good of a punt it was from my level. Because I didn't see the ball coming down yet. I saw the returner just move and run back. And then you're like, oh my God, like, what is this? And, you know, you hear Murph and Eric in the broadcast and they're talking about it. And then all of a sudden it hits at what, the 15, starts bouncing. That's the next thing I'm thinking. After it hit, I thought to myself, oh my God, if they can down this thing, that would be the most amazing thing. And then of course it rolled the end zone. I was thinking the same thing. Like, that'd be incredible. So that's my vantage point of it. Look, I mean, That is exactly why you drafted Matt Araiza. That's exactly right there why you did it. Now, I will want to see him. I think we all should want to see him in a situation that he is asked to pin it in the 20, inside the 20. I want to see him in a situation where they're punting from midfield, because that's going to be more of the test. Can he pooch it up in the air? Matt Hawk did that. Matt Hawk had a nice punt. He got him inside their 20. It was only a net of 32, I believe, not 62. But it actually effectively did the job even better, you might argue, because inside the 20. I would say no, because you flip the field so much. But that's exactly what he's going to have to do. Matt Araiza is in a situation show that he can do something like that. But man, what a punt. It was great. And yeah, I mean, it was on like, what was I watching yesterday? All the top 10, I don't know, a SportsCenter top 10, NFL top 10 plays of the evening. You know, Adam Schefter tweets it out. But of course, you run through these comments from people, and seriously, people are like, yeah, well, you know, the hang time. And I don't know what you want. Hang time is different. Like, it's not like the running, like you said, the gunners. The gunners are sprinting to the ball because the return man. It's different if the return man has to turn around and run to the ball backward, essentially, going towards his own end zone. Then the hang time doesn't matter because yep. You're mitigating all of that.
Well, all the other stuff is working around the net. The net is what matters the most.
Right, yes.
You know, hang time of 1 second or 20 seconds, what's the net of the punt? That's what you're trying to do.
Yes.
So, I mean, not kidding. Did he make the team with that kick if he hadn't already made it? And did he make it with the holds? I mean,
yeah, well, I think Jeremy, he, I don't think there's any doubt he would make the team based on his leg, right? But I do want to see him with that kind of pooch, if you will. I think what really seals it is, so they both punted. Matt Araiza was the only one who held yesterday. To me, now maybe you get Matt Hawk punting next or holding next week. I mean, I would assume the reason why they only had Matt Araiza hold was to show that he can do it. And consistently, he had to do it like throughout the game. And he did. And he was good at it, and they won the game on a field goal. So I think it's going to be tough to keep this guy off the team, obviously.
Time for one more quick call. Doug in Tonawanda. Doug, good morning. You're on with Sal.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. Sal, what I noticed on the broadcast on the sideline, the excitement for the vets when the rookies and the younger guys are making plays. I mean, this really is a band of brothers and energy in the stadium for preseason. It's just amazing watching the little kids get excited. So I'm real excited for this season. I just thought you could comment about the sideline. Even that scrum on the sideline, on the Colts sideline, shows a lot of energy with these guys.
Yeah, listen, I noticed the same thing. And I talked to Micah Hyde about that during the game broadcast. And, you know, these guys, they go to practice every day with these guys, their teammates. They're in the same meeting rooms. They see how much they work. Micah Hyde was so excited for Jaquan Johnson and his interception, you know, and just said he works his butt off every day. He really deserves something like that. To see a guy like Terrell Bernard running, you know, down the sideline for a touchdown, and all the veterans, you know, getting so excited about it, that was really cool. So I agree, but you know that's where that comes from. Somebody asked me a good question on Twitter: why did the veterans who aren't going to play, the starters, why are they still in uniform standing on the sidelines if they're not going to play? And the reason is simple, but it's a good question because people might not realize. Well, they're still part of the team. And Sean McDermott, you know, wants them to still do everything the team does. They're just not playing. You know, it's not, they don't get a free day off in street clothes. It's, you're still part of the team. You're going to go through warmups. You're going to wear the uniform, and you're going to be on the sidelines just like everybody else. So that's why they do it. Even though there's no plans on those guys playing, you're still going to see them in uniform on the sidelines.
Anything we didn't get to, Sal, that you want to before coming up today on the Extra Point Show?
No, I don't think so. I'm thinking back to my arrow up, arrow down. The penalty was called on the wrong guy. We know that, right? On the I had to change that because I remembered the guy who was it that had the block below the waist. It was Joe Giles Harris who was who did it, but Daniel Joseph was called for it right there. So that was one thing. I think that's about it.
All right.
Just trying to look through my notes here, but yeah, I think we covered everything. I think that Hodgins / Kumerow battle could be something, but who knows? Maybe they both want it. Yeah, here's one you didn't touch on. I think a lot of concern about Kyrie Elam was relieved after the game. Like people, we've been hearing some concern about Elam, you know, going into the game or, you know, from the last couple weeks of camp. I thought he played really well. That pass breakup on third down on the opening series, just a really nice play. He showed his length. He showed really, really good kind of patience to wait till the ball got to where it got. He did have a penalty, but I think Kyrie Elam acclimated himself very well in his first professional game.
Also, I was listening to pregame, your segment with Eric Wood, where he told his story about his first preseason game and his welcome to the NFL moment.
Oh, my God.
It was an incredible story. I loved it. And I just wanted to say, if anybody out there missed it, hopefully Eric can tell it again, because it was all about how he's a rookie and he was holding out because everybody was holding out and he didn't want to be holding out and blah, blah, blah. Like getting on the field and chasing down what? Was it an interception or a fumble? Yeah. And he got a blindside block and lost a shoe.
And a helmet.
And a helmet. Yeah, anyway, sorry.
And he came back to the sidelines, and it was welcome to the NFL, rookie.
Yep, because he got lit up on a preseason chasing down a...
By the way, the kind of block that would be a penalty right now.
That's right, that's right. All right, thanks, Sal.
You're welcome, guys.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. 803-0550 if you want to chime in.
1-855-2550.
And Sal's coming up in the Extra Point with you, Joe, as we roll along. It's a victory Monday, Joe. We should be saying it.
A victory Monday.
It's a victory Monday.
Should Howard be picking the Bills this week because of a preseason win?
Tomorrow, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right. It's a Tuesday, and we saw some things. So, I don't see why not. 803-0552, give us a call on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The conversation is that the Hall of Fame ain't the Hall of Fame no more. I love it. I respect it. I admire it. I think all the guys who are inducted definitely are deserving, but it needs to be a different color jacket. My jacket got to be a different color. It needs to be a starting 11. Mm-hmm. It needs to be an upper room. My head don't belong with some of these other heads that's in the Hall of Fame. Put my head where my head's supposed to be. My head don't supposed to be by them. I'm just being honest. I'm saying what y'all thinking, and a lot of y'all Hall of Famers are thinking the same thing. This thing is becoming a free-for-all now, man. If you play good, no, it ain't good. It's people that change the game. Yeah. That's what the Hall of Fame is. A game changer. Not, I played good. I had a good little run. Mm-mm. I gave you 3-4 good years. No, dog. Mm-mm. Game changers.
Deion Sanders on the Hall of Fame being too easy to get into.
I think I like all that.
He's probably right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I think he's definitely right.
What percentage of football fans think he's right? Peter King wrote in his piece this morning, Football Morning in America, he's right. That Deion Sanders is right. That the sheer number of people going in has been kicked up a bit, and that there was a centennial class. So let me find it here from Peter King's piece, that there was a centennial class that was supposed to sweep up and pick up some players from the early years that should have gotten in and didn't. But it didn't happen that way. That it actually scooped up people from a more modern era that maybe shouldn't go in, like a Dick Vermeil. He didn't specifically single out Dick Vermeil, but just that a group of coaches went in who averaged 120 wins, and there are a lot of guys that if 120 is now your mark, you got to go in.
I mean, guys that are... How close is Sean McDermott to 120 wins? Is he halfway there? Like, guys coach 7 years in the league, make the playoffs 4 or 5 times, and that's enough? Vermeil, especially, we looked up, he coached 15 years in the NFL, and he made the playoffs 6 times. So, 6 times, near 500, 1 championship, and that's the Hall of Fame. I think Sanders makes a great point about give me a different colored jacket, because if you're... The Hall of Fame should feel like it's the top 1% players of all time that are in it. And if it's the top 10% players of all time, then every guy that goes in, you know, the allure of, I got my gold jacket, I'm a part of this exclusive club. Well, the less and less exclusive the club gets, the less impressive it is to be a part of it. And Bruce Smith's comments when Tony Boselli got inducted into the Hall of Fame, kind of like this vibe's maybe already been out there with guys that are in the Hall of Fame. Bruce Smith put on Instagram, and when do you see this? Maybe there was something that happened in their playing days. Player-on-player crime like this, where Bruce Smith posts on Instagram that, like, Tony Boselli is not a Hall of Famer. And him getting in the Hall of Fame is a slap in the face to the entire thing. So I think this is happening, and I think more and more of these Hall of Famers that were one of the best of all time at what they did, they're the ones maybe that are feeling like this, that, okay, Dick Vermeil, sure. Tony Boselli, sure. Just like more and more guys are going in, and they're feeling like, yeah, this isn't as exclusive anymore as I once thought.
I agree. I think it's all right. There are a bunch of guys that have... I mean, one thing he said there was, there should be a starting 11. Like, here's the hall,
mm-hmm.
and then you go up a floor, and these guys are better.
Right.
Right? Like, I think there's some fair points there. Actually, this kind of ties in well with the conversation about the NFL's top 100, right? NFL top 100, by the way, it has started. Last night, they went from 100 to 51. I actually was really happy to find this broadcast, that, you know, as, hey, here it is, NFL Network, counting them down, one player at a time. And the NFL top 100, you know, no one's going to say that it's perfect, but it's the players. The players vote, and they give you really good looks at what other players think of Mac Jones, for one. Mac Jones made it on the list. As a rookie, he jumps on a list at number 85. Good for Mac Jones. And, you know, while we sit here and talk about him in terms of, all right, he's limited, but he was ready for the NFL and all this, blah, blah, blah. His teammates, what they say about him, what some of his competitors say about him, what some of his college teammates might, just the kind of guy that he is, the kind of player that he is. And, you know, you've got some people that don't think he's that good. Kirk Cousins was 99. Von Miller showed up at 93.
93. That was, I thought, low. Like, the first thing I thought was, oh, interesting. That's kind of, that feels low.
He was off the list last year.
Really? He wasn't on it at all?
He was hurt, right?
Okay. And they definitely factor that in a lot, because I saw Russell Wilson dropped from 12 last year to 61 this year. So they definitely factor in injury.
So is Trey White not making the list?
I'm going to guess. Do you know what he was last year off the top of your head?
I should double check.
I'm going to guess he's not, though.
He doesn't make it.
I'm going to guess he doesn't.
They're already up to number 50, and he has not appeared yet. So he would have to either be in the top 50 or off the list.
So last season, Tre'Davious White was 95.
He's not making the list.
He's definitely not making the list.
I don't think he's making the top 100.
The year before, he was 47.
Okay.
So 47 to 95, he tears his ACL. Yeah, he's not going to be on the list. So we're going to have Diggs, though, still. Allen will be on the list. And maybe that's it? That's probably it.
Yeah.
For the Bills. Unless... No, that would be it. What Poyer, Hyde was where I was going.
Yes, there's actually reason to think that one of those two is going to make it, because as you're watching the broadcast of the top 100, they'll give you clues. This year, there are only 13 wide receivers in the top 100, which is a low number. 2 years ago, I think it was up to 18. And, you know, just giving you a little bit of a chart about how it works. And I think the number of safeties they said was eight.
Eight safeties?
I think so.
Shouldn't we? So are Bills fans going to be upset that they're not one of the, neither are top eight safeties?
Well, Buda Baker's there. Jimmy Ward from the Niners is there. So I wouldn't be surprised if Poyer is there. I mean, he was first team all pro, right?
Yeah.
First team all pro. Micah Hyde was second team all pro, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. So it wouldn't shock me if one of them is there. You can make the case they should both be there. But to have two players in the top 50 of the entire league, that's going to be a tough one. The real question is, where does Allen come in? Top five?
Top five.
Top three? Top one?
I might want to go...
Lamar Jackson...
I don't think he's first.
Lamar Jackson was number one in 2020. Number one.
Okay.
Voted on by NFL players, who's the best player in the sport. Lamar Jackson won it. Mahomes has won it. Aaron Donald won it last year. I mean, Aaron Donald's got a good look at going back-to-back, right? Because he just won the Super Bowl and...
Yeah.
Like everything you could ask for from Aaron Donald, he got last year. But Allen's got to look at it.
I've got Mahomes being number one last year.
Okay. I thought it was Aaron Donald. Maybe Aaron Donald was like 2-3 years ago.
Maybe. He was second on this list, though. Okay. It went Mahomes, Donald, Rodgers. Allen was 10th last year.
He's moving up.
So, all right. The second quarterback came in was Rodgers at 3. Is that Allen? Is he above Rodgers this year? Rodgers won MVP again.
He won the MVP.
The players also vote on it. Do the players not like him as much as... Fans don't like him as much. His jersey... Do you see his jersey sales?
No.
Rodgers went from, I believe, 4th in jersey sales in 2020 to 30-something in 2022. So, he had an interesting year for stuff like that. Do players care about it? Would they not vote him that high again because of that? Because you're right, he did win MVP. So I would guess Allen is third or fourth, but I would bet top five. One? Would Mahomes get number one again? Maybe Allen kind of matching him and going toe-to-toe in that Chief playoff game would imply that neither would be number one, and then maybe they'd be second and third in whatever order, and just Aaron Donald's going to be back at number one.
Could be. If it's how players, again, Lamar was number one. You know, like,
yeah,
I think that players, Josh Allen has a shot at number one. The respect of his peers, more guys would have played against him by now. You've got to be in the league, and guys have to see you. And one thing I thought was kind of cool about this, again, last night it's, every hour was 100 to 91 and then 90 to 81, counting them down. And the next group goes next week. And then after that, all the way up to August 28th, up to the season. But you've got guys mic'd up on the sidelines talking about wanting to get on the top 100. And I forget who it was, but maybe one of the safeties was talking, hope I get votes this year. I got to get votes. Justin Tucker made the list for the first time. Kicker on the list. So whatever. It's you don't have to love it. Someone tweeted at me last night, like, oh, I don't watch it. It's a waste of time. I bet the Madden ratings are better. Well, If you don't like the Madden ratings because they're done by nerds and computers and algorithms, this is what the players think of the players. Who's the best? That's it. Mm-hmm. They show the ballot. It's not multiple choice. It's write down who you think are the 20 best players in the sport. We'll take it, and we'll put a show on.
Right. It's just, if you almost relabel it and think of it as, this is who the players think are the best 100 players in the league.
It's pretty cool.
It's interesting, right?
For sure.
It's cool. So, like, you don't have to agree with Mac Jones being at number 85, but I would look at that and think, huh, NFL players think Mac Jones is a top 100 player. That's interesting. We had this with Allen after 2019, where Allen made the list before he took his, like, meteoric jump. He was low, like maybe in the 70s or 80s, like Mac Jones is now. But I remember Allen making the list and seeing, like, Colin Cowherd be like, this is a horrible job that he would be listed as a top 100 player. And I'm just kind of bypassing all that and just thinking, huh, NFL players think after Allen's 2019 season, they think he's a top 100 player. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying I have to agree with it. I think Russell Wilson is far better than the 61st best player in the league. But the players have him at 61.
There is a lot of what have you done for me lately? Like, right? Yeah. It's who's top of mind. It's how Von Miller falls out with an injury.
Yeah.
Guys just think like, I mean, Von Miller not being in the top 100 last year, he had four sacks in the postseason in four games, and his pressure rate was still top 10. He's still producing, but he wasn't in the top 100 last year. There are a bunch of newcomers. Kirk Cousins being 99 was kind of fun. There he is. You know, like, whatever. It was cool. I'll keep watching it. And, of course, we'll care where Allen lands, where Diggs lands. I bet Diggs drops. 2 years ago, we won the receiving title. Last year, not as productive. Still great.
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle, by the way, is a rookie showing up on the list. Right. Boom, right away. Top 100.
By the way, we started this conversation with Deion Sanders' Hall of Fame candidacy comments. And the Bruce Smith, Tony Baselli thing, I have a headline from when that happened on June 14th. Bruce Smith, quote, Tony Baselli's Hall of Fame candidacy undermines the integrity of the Hall, end quote. So maybe they had a personal beef or something, but you had one of the Bills' all-time players like earlier this offseason, like basically saying the same thing Deion Sanders did, that like how is this happening that these guys are getting into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Personal beef. There's
a Jaguar. Who has a personal beef, though, with a Jaguar? Has anyone ever had that?
A beef with a Jaguar?
Yeah.
There's a point to be made, though, about maybe Mike Tenier said this about after watching what Deion said. What if Hall of Fame members voted on it instead of writers?
Instead of writers?
Members of the Hall of Fame. You think this guy was good enough to be in here? The point Mike Tenier made was you would see more of exactly what that might be. Personal beefs. Keep this guy out. I don't want him in here.
Yeah.
You hate a guy. You don't want him wearing a gold jacket.
Don't they do that for the Heisman? Don't the Heisman, former Heisman, maybe it's not just Heisman winners, but don't Heisman winners have a vote on the Heisman?
That's a good question. I know, I mean, there's Heisman voters.
You could do you don't have to have it strictly as, you know, the Hall of Famers get to decide who's in. You could add them, though.
Yeah.
You could add them as, hey, if writers think Dick Vermeil's a Hall of Famer, then the Hall of Famers, with their own voting, could say, no, he's not.
Veto?
Yeah.
That'd be terrible, though, to find out, like, hey, you made the Hall of Fame, and all the guys in gold jackets decided you can't come in.
You can't come in, right.
You're not making it.
Or if it was, like, just, you know, you got to have a majority. Hey, you got 48 of the 50 writers to vote you into the Hall of Fame, but only 3 current Hall of Famers think you're actually a part of their club. Yeah. That's it.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 if you'd like to join us. It's a Victory Monday, talking a little football, Bills preseason game. Let's do a quick Eye on the Quarterback. Eye on the Quarterback brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Case Keenum and Matt Barkley. Here's the one thing I want to say about Keenum. And to me, you know, Joe, it's the preseason. We take the preseason pledge, which I still haven't read. We'll do that next. Here's why I can't get mad at Case Keenum. They go for it on fourth down on their opening drive. They ran it on third down. They ran a lot on their first drive.
Yep.
And they ran well, and that's fine. But when they ran it on third down, I thought, that's the kind of play call I'd be really mad about if this were the regular season. But it's not. Mm-hmm. And they want to find things out. They want to find out, can we run behind this left side of the line? Can we run it to the right with this offensive line? How does Zach Moss look? How do the receivers block? Let's make sure we run something like this. Like, it is a glorified practice against another team. And sure, you want the throws to be better. You want decisions to be better. But you aren't.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you supposed to do here?
But don't you think if Keenum had to play an extended amount of time due to an Allen injury, don't you think that's how it would look? Don't you think we would
more
come
runs?
In the day after and be like scratching our heads at why they ran the ball like on a 2nd and 12 or something like that?
I'm not so sure they would run it. I think they might be willing to throw it. The strength of this team is throwing to wide receivers. It has been for years. I think that's when Matt Barkley went in for one game against the Jets, he lit them on fire.
Yeah.
So with game planning, I'm just not concerned about Barkley. Maybe you are, I'm sorry, with Keenum.
With Keenum, yeah.
Maybe you guys are, I'm not yet. And I also get into a spot where you're playing your backup. You think there's somebody better out there. The guy, if you think there's somebody better available, that person is actually not on an NFL roster right now.
Yep.
So,
and is there you'd have to have a guy that is, he's being held out because he's too threatening to starting quarterbacks. That's the only guy that could be out there where you'd think, oh, he's an obvious upgrade.
Like,
but
Fitz?
I don't think that guy exists.
You can talk Fitz out of retirement?
Yeah,
is that the answer?
Cam Newton, but he's not even that anymore.
But you're talking the 100th best quarterback on earth in that case,
right?
Because Keenum signed here to be the number two. Anybody that's out there to be had is behind all the twos and all the threes.
Yep.
There's your eye on the quarterback. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Going to get you one more thing from the game here. The Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, your construction equipment and tool rental source, building America from ground up. Visit SkyworksLLC.com. Bills turned the ball over a bunch of times and committed a bunch of penalties, Joe.
And the penalties, there were 10 total. The names on the list, like how many of these guys would actually be on the team? Terrell Bernard.
Yes.
Tommy Doyle times two.
He scored a touchdown, so he's allowed to commit
right.
one penalty.
So that
every time you score a touchdown, you're allowed one penalty.
Tommy Doyle times two.
Okay.
Tanner Gentry times two.
Yeah. Not on the team.
So my list, some of these guys, I don't even know their first names. A. Anderson, holding for the Bills. A. Anderson, anyone? D. Joseph times two for the Bills. And is Neil Pau, the receiver that went in at the end.
Yeah.
And those are the individuals. So three of those guys had two each. But 10 penalties for the Bills. And maybe Elam is the only one that would... Tanuda is the other one, sorry.
Okay.
Tanuda.
Yeah.
False start. That's an offensive lineman. I think he was a seventh-round pick.
Not a concern for me, the penalties, nor the... turnovers.
Yeah, there were a lot of them. Preseason game, and they were made by guys that aren't going to be on the team. Who cares?
Well, yeah. How many penalties did they commit in last year's preseason? No idea.
No clue. I have no clue. Like what happened in last preseason.
It is amazing how it just wipes from your brain.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett for the Steelers had a solid debut. I mean, he looked all right. He did throw for 95 yards on 15 attempts. That's the Steelers these last couple of years. So
yep.
Short passes, 15 attempts, 95 yards, and a touchdown. And
did he throw the touchdown that I saw George Pickens had?
I think so.
Okay. That was nice.
Pickens had a nice catch.
The catch was great. The toe tap was great. So there's at least one real nice throw in there, assuming that was him.
Pickens is getting a lot of love out of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Not just for that game, but at Steelers camp. There's a lot of love for him.
That he's like the greatest rookie they've had in like 10 years.
Yes, that he's a stud receiver, which is not that shocking. The scouting report on him was that he was great. He was hurt.
Right, towards ACL.
Can he come back from the injury? And it looks like he's a legit weapon for them. So good for the Steelers there. 803-0550, get to your calls when we get back. And continue talking on this Victory Monday about the Bills and how they looked in preseason game number one. And punt god, Matt Araiza. We'll talk about Matt Araiza and some numbers on him as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.